Third hour of lecture, December the 15th afternoon.
We have a subject here which is quite pertinent to standard operating procedure because it really covers from step two down and covers that case to which you will have to do spaciation, actually covers a step one case. But
this process applies then to all cases. But this case is 4. And then 5, 6, and 7 all fall under this category. Now, the process you do for 4 is to return. The guy can't hold a point steady. You could go right straight ahead and bull through on spaciation. You could do that. But you've asked this person to be 2 feet back of your head. He wasn't. You've asked him to put out a beam, push himself out the back. He didn't. He couldn't. You've asked him to hold a point steady. He couldn't. Now, the next step is, make a mock-up of your childhood home. Make a mock-up of it. And get him to handle it. This is the way you handle a mock-up. After you've done this, you can flip back into spaciation. You aren't in each one of these cases on this standard operating procedure going back and doing step one again, you understand? You're going back upscale. You get him to get that. If he can do that, in operating procedure issue 5, if he can get a mock-up of his childhood home and then exaggerate what it's doing and not doing and then change it and position it all the way around and handle it until he can just call up and throw away the thing at will by creating more of them, by remedying the scarcity of it, by making things more exaggerated about it, and so on, you'll find out that you've returned somebody into a state where he can very easily do a spaciation. You will probably not have turned somebody who will immediately be able to step out of his head and test it if he wants to. But probably not. Just on, you did this job superlatively well. He would be able to. But we won't count on you doing a job that is just me plus ultra super, not because you couldn't, but because it simply is putting too much detail and too much stress on one step of the case, that's all. So, this next one is, can he get his childhood home back? Can he get a mock-up of it? And mock it up and handle it? That's your step. And let's say that he can get that mock-up. He gets it immediately. So you've said, be 2 feet back of your head. Then you've said, pull out a beam. Then you've said, get a point. Now you say, get a mock-up of your childhood home. Not a facsimile, but a mock-up. You change it around to make sure it's his mock-up. You've said that, you get that, then you just simply go around, position it in space, change it, change color, do other things with it until you can control it utterly. Then you go back up to space 3 and do a spaceation. After you've done a spaceation, you can ask him to move out of his head with beams if you want to, or ask him to step out of his head. Doesn't matter what. You just go right on through with the routine then of space of step 1. So, that's the extent of 4. 4 has to do with the old house. Because, of course, when you do this, you pick up his anchor points. Bam. He's probably still running on these anchor points, even though he had an office which covered 18 floors of the Rockefeller Plaza, and even though he was very loose in the way he lived, or anything, it didn't matter, any one of your conditions has nothing to do with it. He's probably still running on the anchor points of the old house. Probably he sits there at this mahogany desk, which on Saturday nights is used as a skating rink, and so on. He's still using a shanty 8 miles south of the slum into the slummier slum on the south side of the car tracks or someplace. And he's probably still using those orientation points, which is what spoils his manners, and fair enough. That's right. Because he's orienting everything he's doing against not just the conditions of his childhood. Yap, 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 yap. I mean, good old child psychology. Somebody give me a Tommy gun. He isn't doing this. He just happens to have only a couple of anchor points. And he hasn't got an anchor point on 42nd and Broadway, or one in the Bronx, although he's working in Rockefeller Plaza. His anchor points, he's lost. He's badly lost. His anchor points are over in South Keokuk or North Bergen or someplace or another, and they just have no relationship to the anchor points he's using, and he can't fit the same space in. He's never been able to fit the same space at the same time. And it changes, of course, his mode of existence. He couldn't help but change his mode of existence because he's got to fit in with his environment, hasn't he? We've been taught so long that man's salvation depends upon his adjusting to his environment. So his environment is not Rockefeller Plaza with 1,000 square yards of desk. His environment is shantytown. Where his anchor points are, that is the environment in which you will find him. If his anchor points, and excuse me for introducing Space Opera, but if his anchor points are 18 planets away, and that society is strictly tooth and claw, if it's a society in which a man is only worth as much as he has in the bank, where justice is delivered only to those who have the wherewithal to buy it. In other words, a society you wouldn't even know about. He'll be operating on that society because his anchor points are there, and he doesn't have any anchor points here. He slipped back that early on the track, and he's not even using this lifetime anchor point. But you can make him go through and jar out of the old anchor points by showing him that he had earlier anchor points in this lifetime, namely his childhood home, and then you use those to reorient him. But by doing what? By pointing them out? By mentioning anchor points to him? He may keep telling you, the fire plug out at the corner of the house, I can't seem to do much with it. It's just there. And you say, well, you work around. You want to get that fire plug moved. The whole house, you'll find out, is probably turning on that fire plug. When you say, turn the mock-up around now, it's pinned on that fire plug, and the mock-up just suddenly swings around on that fire plug. Very interesting condition. You'll finally get this up to a point of where... Also, it might have been a temporary anchor point. You might have some kind of a temporary anchor point. You've got the house as a sort of a general setup of anchor points, and the instant in which he's stuck on the track with that had some particularly interesting feature. Snowman. He fell and broke his arm or something of the sort. Big crash. And he just built a snowman. And you'll find the house there, the fire plug there, and the snowman there. And he's sort of orienting on the snowman. And the house will swing on the snowman. You won't be able to do anything with it. There'll be some object in that mock-up with which you can do nothing. Don't point it out to him. Just make sure he does something with it. Because that's his anchor point. There's the temporary anchor point then, which is the incident in which he's stuck, and you don't need to know what incident he's stuck in. And there's the childhood anchor points. And those will all be sort of nervous. Pardon me, he's nervous about doing anything with them. Because he knows if he moves those, he's lost. Although he hasn't seen them for 30 years, he moves them, he's gone. Well, those things assume enormous importance to him. And what you're doing in a step four is you're just plowing this guy up. Because it's certain that step four is not in present time, even though he's very sane, very efficient, and a good guy. It's just a lead pipe cinch that he's not in present time. He's in present time up to three. But step four, he's not in present time. And that's the dividing point. You know that for sure he's not in present time. He knows he's in present time, but he is orienting severely by the past. Therefore, if he steps out of his head, he knows he's liable to step right straight into the Battle of Trafalgar. If he steps out of his head, he's liable to step straight into the middle of the war he just left through. He's not in present time. The reason he can't step out of his head is he isn't here. And he's liable to form. We've already, at the borderline, when we have passed from step two on to step three, we've started to move a bit out of present time. But we don't get noticeably out of present time until step four. Case four. Now, we started in, this person was collected at a point, and in a point, only in step one. And from that point on, he is dispersing. He's in, you might say, negative space. In other words, he's in space that isn't here. He has anchor points that aren't present. He has all sorts of odds and ends. And we're trying to remedy those then, step two, three, four. The reason why he has to use beams to get out in step two is, of course, the fact that he is unable to change postulates. But he can make a beam. All right. They're very simple then, isn't it? Now we've got right up to step four. Now let's take step five. I'll cover that with great rapidity. That's just black and white control processing. We're actually back to something slightly resembling three. We want to spot this guy. What characterizes him is he can't get a mock-up. We find out he can't get a mock-up because he can't get the old homestead. Simple. He can't get the old home, so we know he can't get a mock-up. So if you view the fact he can't get a mock-up and can't control a mock-up, we know we've got a handle then. Because if he can't get mock-ups well enough to mock up the place he was raised, he can't get mock-ups. Not worth a nickel. So just don't worry about it from there. And your next step after you found out he couldn't get a mock-up would be a simple. You said, all right, can you mock up the house in which you were raised? Houses keep flying through here. You could go on with that for a long time. Don't go on with it any time at all. Up to this point, you have said, be 2 feet back of your head, he wasn't. You have said, put out a beam, push against your forehead, now push your forehead 2 feet in front of you. And he was, or he wasn't. I amend that. You said 2 feet back of your head, wasn't. Use a beam, push yourself out of your head. He didn't. Put a point out in front of you and stabilize it. He couldn't. Get a mock-up of the place you were raised. He didn't. The next thing you say to him is take a black spot and put it on the wall. And that is step five. You needn't inquire any further in this case. You needn't really inquire any further. You understand that you can take these later steps and you could interchange them. I'm recommending them to you in this order for a good reason. It'll save you time. It'll save you lots of time if you do them more or less in this order. All right, we've got that step five, put a black spot up on the wall. He tries and he tries. He says, I can't do it with my eyes shut, but I can do it with my eyes open. Okay, you got a five. You're working from there. How do you work that thing? You move the spot 2 inches to the right, and you move it 2 inches to the left. And he said, there's lots of spots up there, too. You just say, pick one of them and stick with that. Until, and you work with him, no matter how laboriously, with his eyes open or his eyes shut, until he can put a black spot up there and turn it white and shift it and turn it black and shift it, and know he's shifting it, and know that it was he who moved it, and that it was his black spot. It is work with that. He gets too many black spots, make him get a lot more black spots, and then cut it back down again. Exaggerate those conditions, in other words. Run a cycle of action on what he's doing. Black and white control processing. Now, don't mix that up with black and white processing. Black and white processing is technique 880. And that sort of went by when you weren't looking. And I got a letter from an auditor this morning. He's been all over the east, or the west coast. And he's been using, what, black and white processing technique 880. He's having tremendous success. He's just been having a fine time. And he wrote in to say how well it went. Works. This is not the same process. We're not interested too much in a chronic somatic as such to be handled by black and white. Walk-ups handle them faster. Or handling and exaggerating the actual disability. Can you process that file? Never mind. I gave him a lot of mock-ups. One of the reasons I gave him those mock-ups is because I like General Bradley. And we obviously had somebody who was stuck in a space hat. Remember, he couldn't break that ball with that ear in it, know that it'd be painful, that sort of thing. Rough deal. And then when we finally knocked the thing out, don't think that that was just the technique that knocked it out. It wasn't. He was then ready to use that technique, and I just did it very directly and made him exaggerate the buzz in his ear and then decrease it and then increase it and then decrease it and finally get the other ear ringing. I make the other ear ring. First I had a statue out in front of him there and made its ears ring. And then had him shifting from one ear to the other ear until all of a sudden he was headed off in one ear and on in another ear. This sort of struck him as odd. And we turned it off in both ears. Now, that'll probably come on again. He probably won't pick it up again to it, but it'll come on less. Although I told him all he had to do is any time it came on, was make it louder. He's handled it well enough by this time, but if he'd just do that one step, he'd just make it louder, he'd go off again. He's demonstrated to it, he can hold it, too. That's just a quick patch-up, and you handle any of these chronic somatics this way. So we're not talking now about black and white processing. Very interesting process and all that sort of thing. And nice to know that those things do all those things, and that there was a process there and so forth. We're talking about black and white control processing. And the level of importance is the black and white control processing as a discovery is many times more important than black and white processing. Don't under-evaluate this little, innocent, simple technique whereby the fellow puts a black spot upon the wall and finally holds it there. And don't glance over it and walk away from it and say it's not important. You've got a preacher who is in the dark. He's seeing only blackness. He can't control a mock-up. He can't get anything but the vaguest concept of a mock-up. He can get a concept of it. He could imagine that he was getting one. Not good enough. A guy either has a mock-up or he hasn't a mock-up. So what do you want in this case? You want a black spot up on the wall. He says, am I supposed to see it? What do you tell him in that case? He wants you to see it no matter how thinly. Eyes shut or eyes open, we don't care. We want you to see it no matter how thin it is. Now, there are other little techniques that are quite interesting. This fellow is really in agreement with the mess universe. He's gotten down and agreed with the mess universe until he just groveled in the dust. He hasn't any energy manufacturing left or anything else. He may be a very good guy. This has nothing to do with character. He might be a very savvy individual. He might be able to use good logic and do remarkable things, but these steps are not steps that are associated with ability where it comes to handling the mess universe. They're not steps that fit in on a tone scale. They're just steps of how far a guy is into the mess universe at his level of the tone scale. And the further he is into the mess universe, the less he can make his own. We're trying to make him make his own universe. We're trying to head for the creation of mock-ups, their variation, and the creation of space. If we turned over to this fellow and we asked him to do something in the mess universe, he probably could. He'd dig in just a little bit deeper.
But
he is fixated on the masked universe. He is convinced. The masked universe has convinced him, and you'll find out that it is not him silly. You'll find out this person has led a very tempestuous life, and many things have displaced him in space. A lot of his dreams of death are blown up. He may have lived four or five lifetimes that would have killed a normal human being. Well, let's not be critical of this person just because he's a step five. He has a disability in our eyes because it blocks the route to a fast process. And actually, I don't know of any process except irresponsibility and responsibility. Running that and running deads and dead exes as such, Connie, long hours of this that'll snap him into line so that he can eventually become a theta clear. I'll tell you a lot more that's wrong with this fellow the last half of this hour. I am under a general subject. But all we're interested here is the ability to control a black spot. The ability to control a white spot. Make it increase and decrease in size, make it go away. Make it come back and go away. Let's put a black spot under control. That's all we're trying to do in this case. And we work black and white control processing. I don't care how many hours we work. We work it until he's got a positive action there that can flip a black spot up on anything. Turn it white, make it big, make it small, turn it off, put it in last year, do anything with it, pull up on another wall, do this and do that until he can handle that black and white spot. Don't start leading into this technique as an invitation to do a mock-up. Do it for itself. Do it for itself with this guy. Do you know that most of the people you've got doing mock-ups can't do it? Throw a real black spot on a wall that is actually sitting there on the wall, that you can see on the wall, and then turn it off, turn it on, move it here, move it there, and get instantaneous action on that black spot. It's quite a technique, all by itself. Now let's just make up our minds that he didn't answer up instantly to steps 1, 2, 3, and 4, that we're going to go into black and white control processing, and we're going to do black and white control processing on this fellow almost on the order of it's mud from there on down. We're going to get him so thoroughly accustomed to being able to turn on and off black, turn on and off white, that he hasn't the least or foggiest notion that it's difficult or there's any question about his handling the black. That's all we're going to do. We're not going to shift over and do some other technique just because he can suddenly get that black spot, suddenly run him into space station. He's in no state to run into space station. Not even vaguely. Now this fellow, to a large degree, is usually under the heading of what we will call for our own notebooks an invader classification. Feels quite upset. If you'd caught him a few years younger, he probably would have had full perceptives. He probably could have been theta cleared in a very short space time. But life catches up with these boys fast. The paymaster is sensation. Sensation. They want sensation from the mesh universe, and they start picking up sensation from the mesh universe, and it makes a one-way flow from the mesh universe to them. Then they can't make up any energy and throw it out again. What's wrong with them is hands and feet and unable to create energy. And if they created any energy, they would practically perish with the feeling of horror at having done so. It is a sick feeling that I have seldom seen in any other line or level. I've never seen anybody feel really that degraded in real life. Quite remarkable. Quite remarkable. Now, you'll find some of your pre-clears, after you've done mock-ups for a while, and you've done a space station, you've done quite a lot of other things, and they're just getting along fine, and one day they go, sag. What'd you hit? This guy has an invader spiral. He's got space opera on the track, and something slapped him into it. You didn't get rid of it. You hadn't caught it earlier. So don't think your five is the only invader. How do you handle it? Mock up hands, mock up feet, mock up energy flows going in all directions. Until you finally got this fellow totally capable of being able to put out a straight energy beam from himself to any object. Clearly, quickly, turn it off, turn it on. You've got to rehabilitate his use of handling raw energy. Now, your five should be worked until he has enormous positiveness on black and white spots. Until he can vary them and turn them into crosses and make the crosses cross and have a white cross and a black cross and make those cross and a white circle and a black cross and make those cross and put them any place, ceiling, floor, and make them persist. And if anything starts happening when he does this, just keep on making him make black crosses and white crosses, white spots and black spots. You'll find out once in a while that it may pale to exaggerate the condition. It may pale to, but it's a dangerous thing to do. To warn you. Because this fellow is so close to the fringe when it comes to markups. He's so afraid to see something not real that he'll practically spook if you suddenly flooded him with all sorts of things. This guy's got all sorts of things. He's got things like big spinning discs and racing lines and beams that are suddenly will appear in his facsimiles. What you do is take a mess universe equivalent of these objects and make them work with them. If you're really doing it, you get quite sick while you're working on them. You keep seeing a whale, and you get black and white spots and so forth. And you keep seeing a whale, and you keep seeing a whale. We'll stick with him with a real whale. Put an automobile wheel down there and rotate him. Well, if you run it long enough, he'll be all right. But there is a danger when you're running such a level cake, you don't run him long enough on the process. And you have to pick it up on black and white spot processing. Now, this stuff will really key out on black and white spots. You can insist on his handling black and white spots to the key zone. When I talk about exaggerating a condition, you'll find an awful lot of fellows who are just getting mock-ups and they're just doing fine. As long as you give them mock-ups, bop, 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 bop. Don't give them mock-ups, so bop. 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 They can only hold one for a split instant. They can't conserve the mock-up very often. All right. Well, often a guy will tell you also about some visio he had in childhood, if you want to play around with it, all right? Some visio he had in childhood. He'd keep seeing all of these faces, and the faces would keep coming in, and they'd come in on them, and he couldn't get them off, and so forth. One chap told me that he used to regularly, when he was a little boy, stare into a flaring lamp for an hour at a time so he wouldn't see those faces so he could go to sleep. Every time he started to go to sleep, he'd see these faces. So he'd have to stare into the lamp. Childhood is really, if you only knew it, a time of very bad terror. These things start keying in one way or the other, and there's no way RC would have grown up on the subject. Grown-ups know that babies just arrived and they're brand new and they don't have any past or background. There's no reason for these nightmares except some of the stories they've been hearing. And they know all about this. They don't know anything. I do a lot before I put a child asleep in a dark room, believe me. What do you want to have on your hands? A three-year-old who has got an electronic incident in full play? How would you like to have to live with that for the next 3 years, huh? Keep putting him in the dark and putting him in the dark, and he keeps protesting and he wants to come out again. You put him back, put him in the dark again, and he comes out and he protests and he's saying he can't do it and so on. It's all because you're big and strong. You take him by the throat and throw him into bed and say, if you get up out of there again, I'll shoot you dead, and turn and close the door on him and leave him in the dark. And you wonder why the kid gets sick. Boy, there's real stuff waiting for him. Real good stuff. If he's demonstrated a fear of dark in the first place, he's had something to do with deep space. Just automatically. These electronic instruments. Another thing is kind of bad to leave a beam shining across the kitchen. Just a streak of light, a solid streak of light going across one corner of the room. Because it seemed to get solider and solider, and the kid after a while will jitter on. You wake up suddenly and you'll see this thing. That's just no good. Somebody's gunning for him. All right. So much for that. Black and white control processing consists then of black and white control processing. That's right. And that's what you do with this fellow. And then you move up into step four. We've got a different modus operandi, you see, with this standard operating procedure. We're going to kick him up at the lowest step we can, and then we're all going to do all the steps backwards till we get to one. So we're going to hit four. Five. Black and white control processing. We get him so he can do it. Move him to four. He gets the childhood home, marks it up, tears loose the anchor point. Take him to three. Cessation. Take him to two, put out a beam, push himself out of his head. Or the speed. Two or one. All right, then you go on with the process of one. We'll just make yourself a theta clear. All right. What's six? Six. The best process I know for a six is by experience. Until I experiment with other processes, I'm not going to recommend another thing for the six, really, except ARC straight wire. And one of the best sources of ARC straight wire, of which I know, is self-analysis. Just straight off. But the particular attention should be paid in that to re-establishing his certainties about something. And there's no reason to go and take a dive off on new fancy processes which have not been adequately tested with the contract in Alabama. That's not Squirrelville on the Colorado. Not meningitis on the Topeka. And ARC straight wire is full more neurotics up through the band than I know of, because ARC straight wire, your step six is a neurotic step. The guy can't do any of these things, and if he just gives up on black and white control, he can't do that. Dive in, fella. ARC straight wire. Good old time covered in Science of Survival, so on. You just follow the directions of the old American edition of self-analysis, and you recall a time when. And then particularly the last page, remember something that's absolutely real. Remember something that's real. Remember a time when you were really in communication. Disorient him and at least find him in the mesh universe. He's not only lost his own universe, but he's been driven out of the mesh universe, too. This person, by the way, you go down the line on this, these various levels, you find yourself somebody who is disabled, evidently is a little bit zing-zing on you, doesn't seem to be quite balanced. Remember that that is a test. There's no reason to change it at this stage. For 2 years, that's been snapping neuroses. Or it's at least been making a neurotic out of psychotics. That process, for some reason or other, is a too perfect killer. And that is ARC straight wire addressed toward finding a time when he really felt in communication with somebody, when he really felt somebody loved him, somebody else felt he loved them, and when he was in full agreement with something or he wasn't in full agreement with something, a time which was completely real to him. You know, you can see a case go snap. Right up. A jump. In tone. By the way, that's one that I could get awfully red-headed about. Auditors have known this since time immemorial. It's been taught to every auditor that ever went through any class anywhere. And I have, by God, picked up cases. I have picked up cases that were being worked on heavy incidents, being mauled around this way and that had never been asked this question. Here the guy is, he's got glasses 8 feet thick, he's looking out over a misconstruction of body, he's falling over sidewalk cracks, he's just stumbling around, he's lost, he's gone, and somebody says, well, we can't do anything for the case because he can't run an engram. We tried to run Bert on him 18 times running. He doesn't seem to get any perceptics when we try to run Bert on him. By the way, there's still clowns out in the sticks that are running Bert on people. There's still there's one pair of auditors in particular that have been running Bert on people now that I know of for 2 years. They have had not one success in those whole 2 years. And they keep running birth on everybody they get their hands on. Wonderful. Gorgeous. They're both stuck in birth, of course. And by tacit consent, they won't do anything about it. What about this? Every auditor's been trained in this. Every once in a while, I get a hold of one of these cases around, and the guy is falling all over himself, and nobody is asking these questions. Can you remember something that is absolutely real? Can you remember a time when you were really in communication with someone? Can you recall a time when you really agreed with someone? Can you recall a time when you really agreed with them? Can you recall a time when you felt some love for somebody, when you knew they felt some love for you? Can you recall those times? That's the total list. Right there, just those questions. And have this fellow case break. How fantastic. I mean, you keep giving out this little piece of information. It could actually be written on the inside of a matchbox cover. I sometimes feel kind of inarticulate about it. Because it's so simple. All you do is say to this person, you remember a time that's absolutely real. I've been handing that out as a datum, I still find people that have never had that question asked who are just strictly fruitcake. And somebody's trying to run something, trying to get in communication with them, saying, they come around and complain to you, well, your technique there doesn't work, this effort processing isn't so good, and running engrams don't work. I've had this pretty clear, and I've processed him now. Let's say I'll tell a real lie. Let's do a winner on it. 18,000 hours. In other words, I processed him 8 hours simultaneously every hour. For the last 18 years, and I haven't been able to get the case break, and then you get a hold of this case, and you ask him that question, the case snaps. And the auditor goes around and says, well, just because he's got altitude, that's all. this is incredible. So don't miss that one on step six. And if a guy looks pretty tippy on his pins to you, or you go down the list, brrr, and this person says, oh, yes, I get this beautiful home of my childhood. Yes, my beautiful home. Yes, I get this beautiful home. You think, do you remember something that's absolutely real to you? Like that. This guy is observably off. He's off the third rail. He's being pushed down the track by the weight of the society. That's one. But in any auditing, and so forth. So as I say, when we drop from step six and seven toward a new process,
We are both hauling coals to Newcastle. We are building up new electric shock machines for our manager. We are doing some other completely unnecessary action. We are electing a new congressman. It doesn't matter. It's just something it doesn't need doing. Why? Because cases have been breaking all over the place. When a guy doesn't break a psychotic on step six, that boy isn't any good as an auditor, that's all. He's so darn scared of the psychotic that he won't have the psychotic long enough to break the psychotic's case. If a person doesn't want to have a psychotic around him, he's afraid to have a psychotic around him, he won't take possession of the psychotic long enough to break the case. It's very obvious to you now at this stage of the game in your training. If he's busy running away, he'll make the person more psychotic. And as far as step seven is concerned, we're still, by the way, I was using this process 18 months ago. This is not a new process. Where's the light switch? Can you remember me? Who else do you remember around here? Where's the law? Now we can just modify it and we know why that process works. I'm using this process for a long time, it didn't quite too well aware of why it works. Well, it's Q1 is why it works. Get the guy to locate things. Now we can do it a little bit better, but we're still doing the same process. Getting to locate. Getting to locate that wall. Find that wall. Find that anchor point. Where is it? Find that anchor point. Find that one. Find that wall. Find that light switch. What's the realest thing in this room to you? Carl all of a sudden looks around for a long time and he finally says, that bedpost. How do you know the bedpost is real? You go over and tap it lovingly. Now, if you had a small statue, a statuette, or any aesthetic article, a real good aesthetic article, a picture, something very aesthetic, and you were to go into an insane asylum with that thing and set it up, you would show these people and they would see for the first time something that was really real to them. That's what aesthetics do for people. It's real. And would you just drop it at that and say, okay, sit there and look at the Virgin Mary or whatever it is? You'd never show her, by the way. Get a nude, if anything. Virgin Mary, all those statues are remade statues of Isis. You still find them in the catacombs, by the way, and it says on the top of the base, it says the Madonna. And turn them over real quick and look at the clay on the bottom of them. You'll see the Egyptian symbol of Isis. They just imported Isis and Horus, who was found in the bulrushes as a child. Took those statues and that became nearly Christian statuettes. Very amusing. So, some aesthetic item which has no real religious connection. But it suddenly gives them a reality. They can see it. They know it isn't going to hurt them because aesthetics ordinarily are not force. If you'll notice, the whole race sort of is on a tacit consent about making anything forceful really beautiful. They play off the majority of the items which they manufacture which are destructive and make them ugly. Not beautiful. Take a tank. Boy, that's about as aesthetic as a pig. All right. Let's take a look, then, at this contact with. Let's locate something in the real universe. You've got to bring this guy into the real universe before you can get him into his own universe. You've got a double bridge to get where you've got a psychotic. That's why you take a psycho or a heavy neurotic, processing him till he finds something in this universe, the next universe, which is real to him, is effective. Because he has been driven out of one home universe to next universe. He's not in the next universe. He's not in the universe. He just goes into some facsimile or something. So you want to coax him out of that facsimile into the next universe, and then coax him from there into his own universe. Not necessarily take a long time to do it. But the steps are orientation in his immediate present time surroundings. Now, you'll notice that they'll fly around the room. Or they'll just sit there like mad. Now, you can't do anything with them. You can't get them to give up anything. You can't get them in communication with them. What are they doing? They fall into these categories of cases which I gave you. And one of those categories of cases is holding on. The other is holding on so bad they abandon. All right. Now, they're sitting there. You can't get anything out of them. This is a step six. Seven. Six or seven. You can't get anything out of them. They are... You know this guy's probably holding on. You put him on an E-meter and say, are you holding on? The E-meter goes zong. The drop. That's true of upper-level cases, too. They're holding on, too. I mean, there's just more of it down here at the bottom of the line. Furthermore, the particle, space, has become an object. And a word is an object. And time is an object. When you get these cases. You see, in this wise, a six and a seven do compare with the tone scale. But this whole process, the standard operating procedure, is not aligned on the tone scale. You get that idea. It's just accidentally that step six and seven line up the tone scale. These people are psychotic. When they can't do any of these things, they're goodbye. By the way, some psychotics can do the upper ones. Well, you see, this is not a tone scale thing. You say to some psychotic, be 2 feet back of your head, you're there. Good. What posture do you have to change by being crazy? Fine. Okay. Where's your clothes? That's right. We'll go home now. You think I'm kidding you? That could be it. So, it doesn't matter who you're working with. You see, work standard operating procedure. So, it's at the beginning of these lectures today. That's any case. That's the cycle. Two. You get down in the lower band, you can't attract his attention, get him to do any of these other things. You have to do these lower band things, which is to get some accessibility. Then you go right on through the rest of it. All right, so what's the score with this boy? When you get him oriented, and you find out that he's... pardon me, not say oriented, that's a technical term. When he's holding on, you've discovered he's holding on, you come in and you say, well, now, put your purse down on the chair, and this person's been in there for 6 months, or been home and wouldn't go out of the house, or something of sort, ever since the baby came or something. You say, all right, now let's put your purse on the chair. She's been sitting there holding that purse all this time. No. Look at you. Finally decide they can trust you. And they may go so far as to let you hold it for them, maybe. But to put it on a chair where nothing's holding it? Uh-uh. Maybe they're so good that they'll eventually be persuaded to put it on the chair. Do you know that starts to break their case at that moment? They have an object and they put it away from them. You just handle it by separating them from object. That's all. You just separate them from object. They're just holding on, that's all. They're holding on to everything. They're holding on like mad. They're sitting right in the middle of inhibit. Loss. They've had to hold on to a lot of things in their life, and so they're just holding on. They know that that's all they can do. So what do you do with this case? You maybe get them to let go of something, but is that trying to exaggerate their condition? No, we follow the same rule of the cycle of action all the way down along the line. We give them things. You go on out and you find scrap paper and you find chewing gum and you find some more pocketbooks and you find some pillows and you find some other things, present time objects. And you give them to them. What's the treatment they get in a hospital? Everything is taken away from them, including space and all objects. Well, if you could give them back some space, you can just give them some less universe space and you can load them up with objects. It'll break the cycle. They say, what do you know? There is some plenty around here someplace. Maybe I'll part with the... I've got all these... By the way, be fully prepared if you're really processing at the bottom of the scale. But this person take all these pillows and just hold them tight and not give one back to him. But they might exchange a pillow for a word. Fair trade. They're going to exchange a pillow for a word. Or a pillow for a phrase. Or a pillow for a mock-up. Anything. Any kind of a deal. But they'll deal. Deal, deal. Trade, trade, trade. Conditions, conditions, conditions. Good Christ, they remind you of an oil man. Deal. Big deal. Big dealers. Mess, oh, that's important stuff. When mess gets too important to somebody, then he tries to hold on to it like mad. He'll go mad trying. And the next stage of psychosis is you just look at the other condition. The other condition is they're giving everything away. So you get down to step 7, they're either holding on to everything or they're giving it all away. You try to put clothes on them, they throw them all off. Try to put sheets on the bed, they throw them out the window. Try to put anything in that room, they throw it away. They just know they can't have anything. So you get them to throw all sorts of things away. You point out they've missed 3 or 4 items in the room. You give them a stack of things to throw away. You give them newspapers to throw away, old newspapers. Give them old magazines to throw away. Give them all sorts of things to throw away. Just exaggerate the condition. They suddenly realize they acquired these and threw them away. That's a heck of an oath. They'll realize that suddenly. Then what do? Remember something that's real to them. Right on back up the line in black and white control processing. Let's mock up the old hometown. Right on up to the top of the tone scale. We don't care how, quote, crazy or how raving mad a step 1, a step 2, a step 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7 is. It just so happens accidentally that nobody gets into step 6 or 7 unless they're crazy. Nobody gets that bad off unless they're really mad. Explained it was for laughs. No. You understand that a 2, 3, 4 can be just as mad as a 7, though. How well you run on this, you can sometimes have to do the darndest, most unusual things in some cases, so you have to be versatile. You have to know all of this stuff. Something that seems to be called for at that moment, and you just do it. You could do the thing which is given to you on the formula and get away with it every time. But all of a sudden, we've gone up this way, we've got to be 2 feet back of your head, and they did a bunk for Arcturus. Huh. It's not in the school solution. Well, that one happens to be, but there may be some that aren't. You just do the same. You've got, my God, you've got flow processes, and you've got dichotomies, and you've got mock-up processing, and you've got control processes, orientation, you've got phase, all of these things. First and foremost, you have to be in communication with the person. So you've got processes which get you into communication with them. That's right, there are processes. I just gave you one. They got too much, so you give them some more. They haven't got anything, and they don't want anything. Take it away. All right. Person will be sitting up on the ceiling, grinning at you ghoulishly, with a head the size of a tennis ball, screaming the glee of insanity. And 5 minutes before this, you were talking to her. She's a perfectly sane girl. Completely sane. Sober, conscientious, polite. A little bit, well... But polite, good wife, good mother, good normal homo sapiens, you all of a sudden say, well, all right, put out a beam and push your forehead 2 feet forward. And she suddenly screams with laughter and plasters herself up against the ceiling and sits up there and says, try and get me down now. You say, that wasn't in any of the lectures. There'll be situations that aren't in any of the lectures. I would hate for you to go out and be common and learn for all the time.
If I thought for a moment that I was the only one that was going to have to do any worrying in the preparation of Scientology, I'd feel very bad. I want you to do some worrying, too. So I could tell you that there's all sorts of things allowed to happen. Sometimes it isn't a Satan. Sometimes what comes out of the head. I better make it straight. It's always a thing that comes out of the head. But sometimes he sure doesn't bear any resemblance to himself. Nice girl. She's sitting there on the ceiling. What am I going to do? Let's see, it costs, I think, £25 a minute to call London. And, lounge in London, and it couldn't process this girl for an hour over the phone. Even if I did get 30 process over the phone, would I hold the phone up to her on the ceiling or hold it to the... Whatever they're doing, get some more of it, and remember such factors as leave insanity. Your responsibility, your responsibility, your responsibility. You can use old primers if you want to. Get the beautiful sadness of being responsible for everything on earth. Or get the beautiful sadness of having this beautiful tomb for having been responsible for everything on earth. Yeah. Boy, they say that's phony. You say, run rising scale on the beauties of being somewhere else. But whatever you do, do something, and do something effective. Action is always superior to inaction. So, you lose your nerve at any one of these points, and you do get a free clear, all fouled up, and you find out that he was sitting on the 20th Century Limited tracks, and the train came by and ran over him, and the body dies there, and so forth. Just report it honestly to the police exactly what happened. The person died of heart failure. And you were having a quiet social chat with him, an afternoon tea. Actually, there's no danger in that happening. The body keeps on running much. Now, one of the things you shouldn't do is try to overload the guy's capacity as you come down the line. I mean, it's not brutalizing. You can brutalize some preacher. Sometimes you have to. The guy's perfectly well off. He's not in bad condition. He's just getting too darn self-determined to be processed. Do something to bring him down tone scale. Scold him a little bit so that you get some more processing and then go back up tone scale again. Something like getting somebody else. They used to try to get people on these old Mathesons. They used to invalidate them until they could get them back on the dial and read them so they could be processed. Well, now, we have here gone over this standard operating procedure pretty thoroughly, and it is different than described in that you go from step one down to step seven, then you go back up the scale. You don't just flip back to step one every time he makes it. It's a different type of process. If you make and accomplish six, go to five. If he goes to five, go to four. Accomplish four, accomplish three, and then two or one. And just, if you got him down to three, then do three, then do two, do one. Doesn't matter. If you got him to five and you accomplish five, then accomplish four, then accomplish three, then accomplish two or one. Well, now that's your process. I dare say we ought to have a rough draft of that process, mimeograph, and give it for you, an insert here.
Well, from what I've told you here, and as often as I've told you, and as hard as I've explained to it, what's step three? Shoot him. Shoot him. What's step three? Pay station. What's step two? That's right, that's too slow. What's step five?
Getting caught off base.
Oh, your preacher will always catch you off base. What's step five? Right. What's step seven?
You hear something real.
What's that?
What's
that? Okay. What's step two? That's right. What's step five? Okay. What's step four? That's right. That's right. Which step is space station? Which step is black and white spot? Which step is ARC straight wire? That's right. Honest Pete, you ought to know these things. Because you'll remember then to do them on that line. Understand the process that's outlined in this book works. It's just slower than the process which I've just outlined. Because since that was written, enough tests have been made on this station to indicate that threes and fours are particularly in terrible shape. We've actually got the same cases there. We're just getting them different prices. They're in terrible shape on anchor points. Until you've done something with anchor points, established anchor points, the guy isn't here, he isn't there, he isn't anywhere. And you could do a lot of monkey business on the case. So these steps which I've given you, it's just in interest of it being faster. It's not a question of whether or not that old one didn't work or this one doesn't work. This is faster. Do you know that the first issue has dead X running for step five? Well, it'll get you there. Deads and dead X's. Really get a guy there. But, my gosh, what expenditure of time. Enormous expenditure of time. I don't know how many hours it would take some case, brother. So in the interest of time, we've brought all of these cases now down to pretty low numbers of hours. Do you know that you will have a theta clear in about 25% of your cases in about 20 minutes to a half an hour? You don't know this yet. About a quarter of your cases, this is the whole wham. Another percentage of the thing take you 2 or 3 hours. When you're starting to get up on a smaller percentage of the line, it's going to take you many more hours. Now that's to get a theta clear. A state of operating theta really is only this. You make darn sure that he can do everything from 1 to 5 with thoroughness, neatness, and dispatch. 1 contains all the lifting exercises. Make space. And terrific mock-ups. Come on. So what's an operating Satan? He's not just stable outside of his body. He's a college kid on this subject. He can do everything from 1 to 5, backwards and forwards and upside down with complete perfection, complete certainty, and with what speed? Milliseconds. He has to be able to pick up a finger of the hand and pick it up swiftly and cut it loose instantly. He has to be able to create space, not in this slew process of 1 dimension and 4 dimensions and so on. No, he has to be able to create space in map. And he's got the space created, and it's all empty, and there's nothing in it. Just like that. So it's just drill from theta clear to operating theta. You get him up to operating theta, you probably be able to knock off the Empire State Building. Okay. I'd say it's a joke. I know nobody would do that. I know if you knock over any building, you'd knock over the building which is occupied by Time magazine. I'll get to their address. Okay. Well, their standard operating procedure. You don't think that's all we have to know in this business? Because I'm going to go into memory. What is it? Why is it? What fouls it up? And how do you recover memory of the whole track? For this reason. For this very adequate reason. This very often, the pre-clear keeps insisting that he be able to remember his whole track for some naive reason. And you better restore it to him with complete certainty. And it's one of the processes, and so forth. And it will assist you enormously to understand the disability of the pre-clear who is sitting in front of you, if you know the operating mechanisms of memory itself. Because they're brand new. So come one, come all, see you at 2:00 tomorrow.